Coming up on Let's Talk Life with London.
You know him for his hit songs Sweet Tea, Lovey Dovey, and Old Thing Back. Dana Vaughns is the true definition of a triple threat. His music is the perfect blend of rhythmic sonics and dynamic lyricism. He's authentic to his unique sound that he works diligently to perfect with each project he releases. Dana is a visionary, so he's always looking for impactful ways to manifest what he imagines, and he is doing just that. He's here with us to share more about his work and his journey. I'm so excited to welcome Dana Vaughns to the show. Hi, Dana.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I got me a cup of coffee right here, too, so.
There you go.
Whatever you got for me, I'm ready for it.
How's 2023 been so far?
2023 so far has been sweet. It's been awesome. Yeah. It's been a lot of planning. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly been busy. It's been really okay. Busy. So no complaints, really just balancing work.
Yeah.
And not needing as much rest as I took last year. So okay. I took a lot of rest last year. So this year I actually really put out. So
now it's like go time. It's like I've rested, I rejuvenated, let's go.
Yeah. How about you?
It's the same. I feel like last year was me just kind of like getting my footing. I moved to LA last year. So been here for a year, and I just feel like last year was like, okay, let me ease into this thing. And then now it's like, all right, let's go, let's get it. Mm-hmm. I want to hear more about the music you've released. So take us back to you releasing Feelings in 2017, then Sweet Tea, which I love, in 2019, and then your new single, Old Thing Back. Take us through that process and how you released everything and why you released it and the timing that you did.
Good question. So Feelings, first song ever dropped. Yeah, 2017. Jesus, that's I was 19 at the time, and I wrote this song about literally, you know, I feel like in life, I mean, some people are lucky just to have like one. Maybe, but there's only a few people that, like you say, oh yeah, you love people, but you only got like one handful of like people that you actually really fall in love with in this world.
Yeah.
So my first quarter of my life, that love of mine, I wrote that song basically about her. Mm-hmm. We were even together before anything. I was freshly out of a group. I was trying to find my sound. Mm-hmm. And trying to find it. It wasn't like there's no pressure from any, I wasn't in any deal that was like, you got to drop a song. I literally was just literally chilling, just like, okay, mm-hmm. I don't know what's next. So that song was literally just a genuine feeling. I was working at a clothes store at the time called Tilly's, and I was folding clothes. And mm-hmm. I could text her because she was on the East Coast, was at like 6 a.m., 7 a.m., because that was my shift time. Mm-hmm. Or she would go to school, I would text her. In that period, and then all of a sudden I just started humming that while I was just literally humming the melody and coming up with lyrics while I'm folding clothes, and still to this day it's actually one of my number one most streamed songs. It stays in the top five on my Spotify, so my heart is definitely in that song, and I feel like I just dropped it because honestly that was like the only song I had. Even 100, it was the only song I had, but honestly it's the only song I needed at that point. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I love that that's my first song because it's so stripped down. It's so genuine. I can hear the youthfulness in my voice. And honestly, when you start with a song so stripped down, honestly, wherever I build from, literally from 2017 until literally the day I go out of here and I stop creating art, mm-hmm. it really did build from that. So that's how that came about. 2019 Sweet Tea. So I went down to Atlanta, Georgia, and worked with Epic Pro. He's a producer.
Okay.
He's doing really good stuff. He did Bryson Tiller's Don't. He's done a lot. Sonically, he's very forward pushing.
Okay.
And literally Sweet Tea, we came up with that song. We literally produced it, wrote it, recorded it all in a matter, I think, of like 3-4 hours.
Literally, wow.
And we met that day.
Wow.
So we literally met. And it was funny because coming prior to the studio session, I stopped at Chick-fil-A and I got me a Sweet Tea. And I was like, I think that's going to be the name of the song.
That's it. And I love that you went to the South to create that song anyways, because like that's my thing. I'm from North Carolina, so like Sweet Tea is our thing.
Now Sweet Tea is fire. But yeah, it just came about. Like we clicked immediately, and he started playing this bass line. I was like, by the time I write, honestly, very, very fast. Okay. I think he was also shocked. Like by the time he was done with the bass line, I'm like, bro, the song is done.
It's done, yeah.
And man, I love the record. It's a mid-tempo song, but when you really get into it, it has such a liveliness about it. It's very flirtatious. It's very fun. It's lighthearted. So I really enjoy it. And for people who are really like my fans, and you know, they always mention that one, like, nah, that Sweet Tea joint is fired up.
Yeah.
Truthfully, a lot of my songs, they all come from me. They all are inspired from what I know and see. Not everything is, oh, like I'm not such like a this happened and I woke up and we talked for this. It's not like cookie cutter like that.
Okay.
It definitely is inspired. I only write about what I know.
Mm-hmm. So, was there ever a time where you were creating music you thought people wanted to hear versus what you knew was authentic to you and what you wanted to create?
Yes and no. I'll explain it. Sorry, I know I talk a lot and I'm going to keep it.
No, you're fine.
So yeah, I mean, I think in the beginning of my music career as a solo artist, feelings was super genuine. That wasn't me trying anything. I do believe when it came to songs like Underneath that I have, that still's done well. Mm-hmm. Maybe what's another one? I don't know, in the beginning, not honestly songs that came out. I'm glad they didn't come out because they weren't my sound. But in the beginning, you know, when people are, you know, suggesting things and saying this, they don't know what you actually carry inside. They're like, okay, well, this will work. So do it. And honestly, for me, my life has never been about do this, it's going to work. Honestly, for me, when I do something that just works, it's not special, because I genuinely don't need that. For me, I have to do me. Some people have to do whatever other people have done, because I mean, not in any way, but if they don't do what's been proven, they're not taking a chance on themselves.
Right.
They have to do what somebody else has already done.
None
of those songs really came out. But there was definitely some trial and I don't even say trial and error, but just trial and figuring out some things. But flip side, there was a time when I dropped music that I just wanted to hear. When I make music, I really do. I'm thinking about the audience, but not in a place like I'm trying to please them. But I just understand my mission and my goal on this planet. So I always think about my listeners. But there was a time I dropped this project called Love So Different, my second EP. It was my last EP I dropped. I haven't dropped any like project since then. But I'll say that was a selfish project. It was selfish. I didn't think about my listener. I wasn't about, okay, I'm putting my best foot forward. I was just putting songs out that I wanted to listen to.
Right.
And looking back at it, honestly, I love my first EP better than my second one, because I was doing more. I was actually living up to my fullest potential at that time. The second project, I wasn't living up to my potential. I just made songs that I wanted to listen to.
Okay.
So those songs honestly could have been better staying on my computer and me working on something else, you know, because I don't ever want to basically like shame my platform. Like when God gives you a stage or a platform in any set, you need to be thinking about who's ingesting. And if you're just doing it for yourself, then that's not, for me, that's just not purposeful. So that project, it was nice. Some people love it. They have some, their favorite songs off of there. But for me, I never like to just service myself. Like I said, yes and no. There was a time where, I wasn't, only thing about them, I really was just thinking about me. I was like, man, I could have let that one. But I'm sure there's some fans out there like, yo, my favorite song's on there. So it's okay.
But I think that's a cool part of your process, because if you would have never had that selfish moment where you released that, you would look back and be like, dang, I never had a time mm-hmm. where I just released something that was for me, and yeah. should I do it now? Is it too late? Is it, you know, am I too far gone? So I think, you know, staying authentic to yourself just in that moment, whether it be like, whether you look back on it and you're like, oh, mm-hmm. I shouldn't have done that. At least you did it. At least you did it. Was singing always a gift that you wanted to turn in to a career? I know a lot of people have things that they have ability or talent to do, but turning it into a career and making, you know, taking your leap of faith and saying, you know what, I'm going to do this and I'm going to turn it into a livelihood. Has that always been a thought for you?
No, honestly, it was the total opposite.
Okay.
I never grew up saying I was going to be a singer, a touring artist, a recording artist, and none of that stuff. I actually was scared to sing for a long period of my life. Like scared. I didn't do it in the shower for fun. I didn't necessarily sing in the car with my parents as an activity. It was just something I never really did. But life just kept bringing opportunities to me to sing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's something with this thing. There's a reason God wants me to sing. Mm-hmm. I might not want to sing, but there's something he's going to do for me and for people through me singing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, as I've just gotten older, I've got over the hump that I didn't want to do it.
Okay.
Because now I love it. I literally love the art of singing and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized there are honestly some talents and some things, abilities that we have that you don't necessarily want to do, but you've been given to work them. So the moment I realized, okay, I have to work this gift. I have this ability. It's like it's dormant if I don't work on it. You know, just you know, I don't enjoy it now. Trust me. I also don't, I'm thinking personally, I don't like doing things I'm not good at. So because I didn't know I was good at singing, I didn't want to do it because I'm not good at this. So I don't why do I want to do that?
right.
But once my head got on straight and I started, you know, really working with some good vocal coaches and hearing my voice the way that I wanted to hear it and singing things that actually match my voice, I was like, oh, okay, this is cool.
This is it. When was that shift for you? Like around what age? And like, was it a moment that happened and you were like, all right, I'm just going to do this? Or like, what was that shift?
The biggest shift was when I started working with, there's a vocal coach called Tim Carter.
Okay.
So once I really met up with him, this was on the tail end. I was in a boy group, and we started working with him at the last like 6 to 8 months of our membership band. What would you call that? Our in-bandment. but I've kept working with him even still to this day, and really working with him, it's really cool because I learned the mechanics. It's like we get down to a scientific level on how the voice works, why it works this way, how to find your own sound, but after you really just do the basics, you know? And when you would hear one of my vocal lessons, you would literally be shocked that I now sound like I do when I actually sing and I do my songs. Once I found the right coach, man, I was good.
People can like, and I feel like this is with anything, but people can see things in you, and I feel like as it pertains to like a vocal coach can maybe like anticipate what your voice may be able to sound like if you do one thing versus another, and that maybe you wouldn't have been able to do for yourself. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a really nice thing that you have and that you had at that time that made that shift for you.
Yeah.
What's something that no one knows about your process when you're creating music or when you're songwriting?
Wow. Something that people don't know about my process. Well, I haven't ever been too open about my process before. So I feel like there's a lot that maybe people don't know. I'll say this. It doesn't have a specific formula.
Mm.
It's not like, okay, I write this way every time. I do this every time. It's in everything that I do, I really just try to be, you know, spirit-led and all those things. Like honestly, there have been times, even with this music that's about to come out this year, there's been two songs specifically that I literally have had a dream about. The melody, the beat, I'll wake up in the middle of the night, I'll go dun, 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 whatever the thing is.
I love that.
And I'll go make it. So that's a blessing, though. Not everybody got that grace. Let me tell you, that is deep. It's special.
Well, I never heard of anybody waking up out of their sleep.
I don't think about what song I'm gonna write too much. Like a lot of people, are like I've been thinking about this. It kind of got worse together. Like no, once I say I'm gonna start working, that's when I start thinking.
Right.
I don't like to like premeditate what I'm gonna create, because then I've lost the spark of it all.
Yeah, who do you like to listen to?
That's tough. Any week you maybe hear me listen to like Marvin Gaye.
Okay.
Marvin Gaye. I will always throw on some Usher here and there.
Mm-hmm.
These are like basic answers. There's nobody new, but
no, that's unique to you. And I think it's almost kind of like
this just came to me, and this is definitely for some people watching this, even yourself. But when you are trying to stay on in your path, in your lane, you cannot continue to ingest so many other things.
Yeah.
Everything we say and the way that we live is, it's all a product of what we've ingested.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm continually ingesting other people's music, then when I go to create mine, it's just going to be a mix of everything I've heard.
That's good.
Yeah. All I listen to is myself, legends, or silence.
Mm-hmm.
What I come up with is going to be genuine for me. I really don't like to be inspired from other people, not because I don't enjoy other people's stuff, but I have something unique that I have to give, and it's still not even fully articulated yet. So I'm really working on, you know, getting myself to its purest form.
Sonic, right.
I can't ingest other people's stuff, because then I'll think what I'm doing is purely me, when no, that's a mix of Chris Brown and Alicia Keys and Jay and all, you know. I don't want to do that, and it'll just happen subconsciously.
Right.
Suddenly you'll use a melody and somebody else will do. I'm my boy Mike River, he's a great artist. He calls me the melody police. Like I'll hear the song and I'm literally like, no, I've heard that before. I did that there.
Right.
And they might not even realize it, but what you're listening to turns into your DNA.
Right. You know?
And so I'm really on this path that, you know, I want to always present myself, because I want people to know that they're getting me and my and they listen to me, and not me taking somebody else's stuff and forming it in a way that you don't know where I got it from. So, if you're building something out there, stick to your stuff to get inspiration, but don't ingest creativity without a goal, without a plan. Don't just be loosely unfocused taking things in, because then you'll mix yourself up with what they got going.
Yeah. No, I love that, because it helps you too from comparing your career and not only just your music, but like your accomplishments and your long-term goals and your purpose, what God wants you to do with others. It's so easy, I think, when you're not focused like you are, like you're saying, you are on just you and what you're building. It's so easy to have like these wandering eyes looking at what everybody else is doing, listening to what everybody else is doing. And like you said, ingesting all of this stuff and all of this noise. It's so easy to go down this rabbit hole of just compare, I'm doing this. I've been doing this for so many years. Why am I not doing this? Why am I not there? Why am I not getting this award? So I think what you're saying is like, helping you to stay grounded and rooted so you're not going down that rabbit hole too.
Yeah.
What do you want listeners to know about you through your music? We touched on this a little bit earlier, but just a little bit deeper, like what do you want them to know about you?
What I want them to know about me is that I'm creating literally an atmosphere of freedom for them, truthfully. Mm. Like when you listen to my music, know that this is, like I said, this is not something that I've been plotting and planning on, or that I grew up in some singing family, or I imagine myself being on these stages and doing things and being on shows since I've been young. Literally, I just knew something great was always meant for me.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're getting is literally through me just being humble and submitted to what God wants me to do. And I'm just so thankful that it is some of the dopest stuff in the world. Like, honestly, like, there's a lot of, I'm always honored, truthfully, that, like, you know, being in entertainment and being in front of cameras and being asked questions, you know, all that stuff is we put it on such a pedestal, and I really am honored to have it. So when they get it, man, it's, you're literally, I'm literally just as surprised and shocked as right. somebody hearing it. Like, right. So I love listening to my stuff. I'm like, oh, fool, you didn't want to sing. Like, you did dance, but you never heard anything about this.
Is it scary being so vulnerable with your lyrics? I mean, I can imagine it's like you create one song and it is like a direct reflection of what you're going through. Then you create a different song and it might not be exactly what you're going through, but maybe like you heard a friend go through it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is it a little scary being so open with your lyrics?
I definitely think it can be. Mm-hmm. There's a level of openness that I just haven't even reached yet. Like, I'm telling you, like, I know how to articulate things. I love words. I love mm-hmm. painting a story. Mm-hmm. I love like dimensional writing. As I continue to grow, you know, maybe it will get more plain, but I'm really, like I said, I'm in the business of creating really moments in time, like a Michael Jackson did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Michael Jackson did, you don't really hear any songs of his where he's that vulnerable. Right. But I guarantee you the songs they were very vulnerable and real to him, but he right. painted it in a way that it was a Smooth Criminal, or he painted it in a Billie Jean, or he right. painted it, you know what I'm saying? Like, there, when you get to the nitty gritty of it, you look like, oh, wow.
He made That's what he was movie. Talking about.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of that.
Thank you. You are very vocal about sharing your faith, which I think is amazing, especially given that you are unapologetic about making R&B music. Yeah. Has there ever been a time where that has been a confliction where it's like, oh, I love God, I am a Christian, but mm-hmm. maybe other people will think whatever, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm making whatever, you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, no, I haven't. I've never hindered myself from making certain music because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just as I continue to grow, like I said, I realized the mandate that is on my life. And mm-hmm. We are really in such a time. There are some things that even people, you know, Christians, people believe in Jesus Christ, like they think God isn't in certain places, but mm-hmm. I'm telling you, he's in those places.
Yeah.
He might not be there in the capacity and as much as he is in your home,
mm-hmm.
but I guarantee you, he is still in the club. He is still here.
Right.
And God is doing something in this time where he's reaching people that thought couldn't be reached. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of people who don't really experience God's love for them because they think that if they're not living a certain way that, oh, God doesn't meet me here. God.
I think more people need to see examples of us, you know, being in the industry and being unapologetic about what we create, but also, like you said, respecting God and respecting what he wants us to do. But it's like you said, we can be anywhere as long as we're in the room. He's here. So the industry is really hard. There's a lot of no's. There's a lot more no's than yes's. What keeps you going when you are discouraged or when things may not be looking like how you want them to look?
I've written a quote and I say, reminiscing is a form of time travel.
Mm.
So when I get down, I reminisce on the promises that have been made to me, those moments when I was so for sure, those moments where I knew nothing could stop me. I'm literally standing on the mountaintop, I'm on stage, I'm this, I'm in these meetings. I'm like, okay, let me kick myself back into gear. But it's very important that, you know, we write down the best moments of in our lives, the best thoughts, the amazing dreams, conversations, whatever it may be, because it's human nature to forget things. Honestly. Mm-hmm. And you know, when life does come hit you and come beat you up, you go open up that notebook or you go to that note on your phone, you're like, wow, I was so certain right here. And I'm so uncertain right now.
Right.
What's the disconnect? You know what I'm saying? And honestly, that's what keeps me going is that I know what I know. And when you forget what you know, that's when you fall out of alignment. That's when you lose, you know, passion for it, all these things. Be like, nah, like some people it's when they're a kid. Some people it was last week. I don't care what it is, but that's why it's important that you continue to make moments where you are inspired, continue to make moments where you feel good about yourself. Don't just be still working off that fire you got 2-3 years ago when you make, no, you need something fresh. You need something new. So I just try to be the best I can every day to inspire me literally for the remainder of that day.
So what is coming up next for you? Like, where can we see you next? What you have in your pocket? What's going on?
Coming up next. So this year I've been dropping a single every 6 weeks. So I dropped my single Touch My Soul on February 3rd. It's done awesome. The video is amazing. People seem to really honestly be enjoying it. They really got a peek into my soul. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, but every 6 weeks I'm dropping a single. Up until I think around August, I'm going to drop an EP. It is a very island, Afrobeat, spirit-filled Jamaican EP. I'm 99% sure it is titled In the Spirit. So I'm excited for that. So yeah, this year people are they're getting lots of singles, probably like 8 singles by the end of the year and 2 EPs. I'm dropping a Christmas EP this year too. I know we're a long way away from it, but I got my plan. I'm dropping a Christmas project. So
that's exciting.
I'm just honestly, it's like, yo, I have so much music. I create so much stuff, but I put out so little. And I said, this year I'm sticking to my plan. So that's really what it is. I've been doing some shows earlier this year. I was in Tampa. I did some shows back in LA. Even with this, there's a thing called Carnival, where it's a huge dancer choreographer showcase, and it was the anniversary this year. There's about 1,000 people at this show, and
wow,
coming from the dance industry, it was a full circle moment to really step on that stage. And I actually danced at that show when I was 13 years old. So to have stepped back on that stage and now I'm performing for these people, and people that saw me come up or that I've danced for them on jobs are now choreographing for me or dancing behind me. It was sweet. So man, we're doing what we're supposed to do. One city, one song, one stream at a time, you know?
There you go. You're busy. I love it.
Yeah.
Where can people follow and support you? I know you're probably on all streaming platforms, but where do you want them to go? Follow, download, stream, all the good stuff.
Honestly, wherever you want to get it. My name is Dana Vaughns. You know, that is my ad on everything. Honestly, wherever they like to follow people, I'll say that. it seems like I'm on Instagram most. And I would really, honestly, I'd encourage people to go to my YouTube. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel. Next year, there will be a lot more stuff posted. It's taking some time because I'm really trying to do some big things with it. But somewhat of a YouTube channel where I go and I do shows and I give back to the community and I do things like that. So as I prep up for that, I just want to get those subscribers up and really go down a rabbit hole with my music videos. I'm telling you, they're sweet. And I'm not just saying that. I put a lot of thought into it. There's a lot of nice, you know, hidden messages in there. And honestly, I just like to create good art. So go get lost in my YouTube channel.
Awesome. Dana, this was awesome. I am so thankful that you were able to share some time with us and share about your process and your work and everything that's coming up. So I'm excited to tune in, subscribe, all that stuff, and continue to support you.
Yes, thank you. And same to you. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Let's Talk Life. Make sure you follow, like, subscribe, and support Dana and everything upcoming this year. Thank you so much. Until next time.